Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
We are saving you from nonstop Starling Marte talk tonight. Because if Jason was in...
That's very true.
That's what you'd be getting. But we're pumped, man, with Rich on Plank. Iowa Sam running the show. Nick B, which, by the way, I don't know if you knew this or not, Rich. Nick, you don't mind me saying this, right?
Yeah, we're down to an hour here.
It's good. You guys can talk about it.
We're down to an hour, and this is Nick's last night.
Yeah.
This is his last show on Fox Sports Radio.
He is going on a vision quest. He said that he's going off the coast of St. Bart's, and he's going to do a lot of peyote.
Go with the – you know, there's edible shrooms now, have you? Yeah. Shrooms have always been edible, but like the candy shrooms. You going to try those out to help you out
I have not, but as Rich said, I'm going to go out to the desert and befriend the coyote.
That's right. That's right.
I dig Nick, man. I'm going to miss you, buddy, but I'm happy for you, man. This is a good thing. Nick, by the way, underrated good sports mind that we probably don't take advantage of enough, but we'll miss you, man. Cool stuff. We'll get your top 50 favorite moments of being on Fox Sports Radio coming up for our final 30 minutes so Rich and I don't have to do any heavy lifting, all right?
Can't wait.
Yeah, we're going to lean on you big time.
We've talked for 3.5 hours. We're kicking our feet up in your top 50 moments.
I'm gonna nap, and Plank is going to occasionally just go, ooh, yeah, I remember
that. Yeah, that's good.
I see how it is. Give the warm man all the heavy lifting doing the final hour. I see how it is.
No, exactly. Which by the way, I got to tell this one quick story. Do you know, Nick, how long it took me to figure out that your Twitter handle was what? Merc with one arm?
How long?
Like till last week was one of those things where it's like, wait, is that Nick?
You find this man.
Exactly. I had no idea. So well done. And then I realized, damn, he's just a gamer like I am. We sit around, play video games, and take selfies. So let's go. Are you juiced about the college schedule tomorrow? Because I know, I'm over the top where like I'm ready to. I'm not going to sleep tonight, I don't think. Tomorrow, I'm just telling you right now. When I get done here, I'm going to have hot tea to fix the voice, make sure we're good, which is going to be fine. Vocal cords are muscle, we're good. But we got Bedlam tomorrow night, and Bedlam is OU-OSU. It might be the last Bedlam ever, and we say that, but they'll play again at some point. They'll play another sports.
Yeah.
Right. But everything's on the line for both of these teams, right? Oklahoma State is the number two defense in the country this year. You heard that right. A Big 12 defense is number two in the country. And don't look now, but the defenses at Baylor and Iowa State are pretty damn good too. Oh, and so is Oklahoma's. And we were talking to Pete Futek about it earlier. That path is there for both of these teams. So I'm fired up about it. You've got what some people debate is the greatest rivalry in all of sports, Ohio State and Michigan. It's so heated, it's so hated that – Ohio State just refers to them as the team from up north, right? So with those two massive rivalries, I know the Iron Bowl isn't what it once was. Alabama-Auburn. I think Penn State and Michigan State is a big deal tomorrow. A&M and LSU it doesn't have the stakes that it did, but when you consider how LSU did everything they could to try to pry Jimbo Fisher away from Texas A&M, is this the year that South Carolina can get Clemson? I know there's not always these great kind of stakes outside of, say, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State and Ohio State and Michigan, but damn, I'm juiced about this slate from top to bottom from college football tomorrow.
No, I completely agree with you. I really, really do. And, you know, selfishly, it couldn't happen at a better moment. I have the Saturday off.
You're
after
off.
Being on the call today for my college football assignment. So I get to sit back, relax. Well, relax is probably overstating it. I got a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old, but I'm going to try to sit and watch as much as I possibly can. And it's movement week. I mean, we could see rankings change considerably. we could see conference championship berths change considerably. This is this is a fun week of college football. And as you mentioned, that OK State-Oklahoma rivalry is one of those, like the Ohio State-Michigan, you know, in conference rivalries that matter. You know, the Alabama-Auburn, you know, I don't want to over-exaggerate how meaningful those rivalries are, but they are. You know, people get into them, and they set family reunions around them, and they expect it year after year after year. It's a, you know, it's one of those milestones yearly for certain people. And as we have this amorphic sort of realignment of college football happening where you don't know where everything's going to land, these rivalries are going to be, in some ways, going away. You know, I mean, is it important to you that regardless of how things shake out, that history is considered when realignment occurs?
I wish history. I wish history and regionality were more taken into account, because you got to look at regionality. You're like, okay, Maryland's in the Big Ten now, right? Yeah, or yeah. West Virginia's in the Big 12. But I, again, that's all about TV markets during a different time of realignment. But yeah, I hope it is. You know, I really do. The teams in the Big 12, just if I can look at this from a selfish perspective, they're really, really mad about how this went down, and they still are. And Saturday night's going to be very hostile, or tonight, if you will, for Oklahoma heading there. But I'll tell you what, Rich, I still want to do it every year. I still want to be able to play Oklahoma State in football, and I still want to be able to go to Stillwater and play them every other year, right? I don't know if it's going to happen. The business of it is hard with future schedules, but yeah, come on. Oklahoma, Nebraska playing this year, even though, as you know, we brought up, it's been a tough year for Nebraska. That was awesome. I mean, it really was, because when I wasn't a massive college football fan when I was a wee little one, but I mean, that's what so many people grew up on. That I hope it is, as we continue to go through like the latest round of what the future of college football is going to look like.
Yeah, I think the fans, unfortunately, in a lot of this talk are. And I'm talking about the local fans. I'm talking about, you know, the school fans. I'm not talking about the national viewing audience, because you're going to have a passive view. I'm part of that viewing audience. I love college football. I mean, I obviously root harder for my alma mater. I root harder for teams that I know players on, or I've had an opportunity to watch a lot of their games, whether it be in market or otherwise. But I love football, so right. I'm here for it all. And I think there's a lot of people who passively watch football that way. They can get into any game if it's a game of importance. But for the local fan, for the Sooner fan that grew up with those Nebraska games, the fact that that goes away because of conference realignment, that stings. You know what I mean? The fact that Oklahoma and OK State, that rivalry could go away, could become less than an annual meeting. That stings. You know, I hope that's taken into consideration, although I really don't think it will be, because at the end of the day, we know this sport comes down to the almighty dollar bill.
Now, since we're on the cusp of it, and because it's become a talking point, we did hear from Mike Gundy about the future of Bedlam earlier this week, and here's what the Oklahoma State coach had to say about how he feels about the future of this, I guess you could say, one-sided. I mean, it's a very one-sided rivalry. Oklahoma has dominated in this rivalry, but it's also still fun and it's very competitive.
I don't think it will. I just don't think there's a business side of it that will. I don't make that decision. I guess Dr. Schrum and Chad Weiberg, they could do whatever they wanted, or the board. I don't know who's involved in this. I don't think it's a realistic thing that it's going to happen based on the business side of Power 5 conference football in the Big 12 or the SEC. That's just my opinion on it. I mean, I could be wrong, and I'm not getting that from anybody. I'm just answering a question you asked me.
By the way, I love the fact that Mike Gundy has been the head coach at Oklahoma State since 2005, and he still acts like he does not understand the scheduling process of college football. It's like, you know, I don't know who makes that decision. But, you know, he's right. So that adds a layer to this on Saturday night between Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, because there is this possibility, right, if this Oklahoma-Texas move happens sooner rather than later, that this could be, if not for certain, the last Bedlam in Stillwater, but maybe the last OU-OSU game for a long time. I've got notes on this game I want to share coming up in just a bit. But I didn't want to get out of this first segment, Rich, without immediately shifting our focus to the Big House, where Michigan hosts Ohio State.
Sure.
And, you know, I keep going back to Pete Futek's conversation that we had. I love the point that he brought up about a team being able to run the football and Ohio State not really having been challenged. Kenneth Walker III, we all agree, could. But by the time, you know, Michigan State finally got its feet under them, they were down 21-0 in the game, and they couldn't really commit to the run. Are we giving – is there anything that you see in Michigan where you say, I think this could be the year where they turn it around? Because they do have some dudes now. They got a guy that might go second or third in the NFL draft. But can they overcome history here in C.J. Stroud?
No. No, I don't think so. I really don't. Look, CJ, it's like kind of like bringing a knife to a gunfight, unfortunately.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you could talk to me about Michigan's run game. I'm happy for them. You know, I love that. You're able to control the clock and lean on teams who have inferior passing attacks. And Michigan's got a good defense. I'm not going to say they don't. But, I mean, look, Ohio State has just been rolling folks lately.
Right.
I don't have the numbers in front of me. Their last two games, they've won by a margin. Let me see. Yeah. Okay. So last two games.
It's funny.
113-38 is what they've outscored their opponents. And that includes a ranked Michigan State team who had just paid their coach some part of $100 million.
That's right.
I mean, look, Ohio State is on God mode right now, and they're rolling into a rivalry matchup. I mean, I'm taking Ohio State, and I'll lay all those points if I'm a betting man, because I don't know if there's a line I wouldn't bet Ohio State on. I just think they're going to roll. I don't see it any other way. However, look, again, rivalry games, they're interesting because emotions run high, mistakes can be made, players may get wrapped up into the storylines, and that's why the line, I think it was still under 10 they were favored by last I looked. Is that accurate?
Scoresandodds.com, I just updated it, and it is 7.
Down
open
to 7.
At 7.5. Got bet up to 8, now it's back down to 7.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of action coming in on Michigan. Look, again, rivalry week, you're never going to – well, I shouldn't say never. That would be overstating it. This is a ranked Michigan team, and they've done some nice work in the Big Ten, no question about it. But rivalry week, it's difficult to give a double-digit point advantage to either side, you know, whoever would be the overwhelming favorite. But yeah, I don't give Michigan much of a chance here. I could be wrong, but I just don't.
I will say it's amazing to think about just the spell that Ryan Day, and then even going back, Ohio State seems to have over Michigan and Jim Harbaugh right now. I mean, it's just there's one game that you look back that was pretty close. What it was like a fourth down spot that
Ohio State
got right. Remember that?
Yep.
But that's really about it. Every other game you look at, you're like, oof. I think they've given up 120
Harbaugh,
points in the last 2 years.
You remember he was furious.
Yep.
Post game. Yeah. Again, great rivalry, and I'll tell you what, Jim Harbaugh outside of, you know, this game and some bowl games, I think he's done an excellent job with the Wolverine football program. There's no doubt.
Absolutely.
But yeah, this year just doesn't feel like it's the year. I'll stand proven wrong and stand corrected if the Michigan defense can hold and that rushing attack can play keep away, because that'll make for a better game than I'm envisioning.
Same, absolutely. These last two games they've played have been very forgettable. Last year in Columbus, 62-39. what, 2019? Because they didn't play in 2020,
right?
That's right.
Yeah, they did not.
Because of COVID. 56-27 in 2019. So we'll see if Michigan can right the ship this year against Ohio State. It's one of the biggest games in college football. The winner moves on to the Big Ten championship game and a likely spot in the four-team playoff. The loser, whatever the second bowl is in the Big Ten, that's crazy to think about. But if Ohio State loses, how great these last two games have been, they're going to be on the outside looking in of the college football playoff. Same for Michigan. All right, when we come back, I do want to get into a little bit more of the depth of the college football schedule, but I haven't picked Rich's brain enough about the NFL this weekend. Let's dive into it next on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The only concern that I have about our commitment to Christmas music is how it makes me think that we're really close to Christmas.
Yeah.
And then I look at the calendar and I'm like, I got plenty of time. Then I procrastinate and Sam, I realize, right. Next
Sam,
thing, you
know, we have children. You're scaring the living daylights out of us.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, it is November 20-aughts.
This is more of a song you play like the week before Christmas.
Right, exactly.
It's like you're feeling really emotional.
This is the one where you're thinking about, gosh, it's our first Christmas without grandma.
Right.
You know
exactly.
What I mean? Like, you know, that's a Christmas song where you're looking out of a snow frosted window and you're lighting a candle.
Oh, you know, are so right.
Maybe eating some hot mixed nuts.
You finally made a friendship with that old man down the street who used to scare you your whole life. You
know? That's right. And then he uses the shovel to save your life.
Yes.
I mean, it's like a movie.
Meanwhile, Plank is out there looking for a Turbo Man Christmas Eve.
That's right.
You're sprinting away from robber home burglars. Wait a second.
So I don't know how it is in y'all's home, but Rich, you got two young ones, right?
Oh, yeah.
I've got three, but I have an older son. My son is like he's turning 18, so I'm dealing with every level here because I got 18, 12, and 6.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I know. I was not smart
so
in the way.
You're thinking like 18, 12, 6. So you think it's like a kitchen, like a Fisher Price kitchen,
right.
Xbox and Volvo,
right? Exactly. There you go. Exactly. You hit it on the head 100%. But it's funny to me because I experience like every level of Christmas now, right? From the 18-year-old who is now, he's like, oh, I'm going off to college, I just need cash, like you said, to the 12-year-old that's kind of a smartass, to the 6-year-old that like still believes, and she's like all in. So the problem, though, that I'm running into, it's already started in my house, and it's been going on for about a week now.
Yeah.
And that's the Hallmark Channel and every single horrible Christmas special. In fact, right before the show started, we were having leftovers. We went shopping today because we're morons. And traffic was dumb. But we sat and they were watching like a surprise Christmas. And the Hallmark Channel, if you haven't watched it yet, don't. It's hilarious because every single commercial promotes it. And they promote, or every single commercial, they promote the movies. And Rich, when they promote it, guys, it's actors you've never heard of until it gets to the girl that was in Full House. It's like starring Sam Hanrahan, John Williams. Like, I don't know any of these people. And then it's like, she's a beret now, I believe. It's the girl from Full House. Like, oh, I know her.
Yeah, it's like Ashley Olsen. You're like,
right, there you go.
Right.
Oh, I know her, right? Yeah, so.
And then it's always a plot line like, you know.
Come on, let me see how well you know it. Like it's the same plot line every show.
The to-be fiancé,
right?
You know, the longtime boyfriend who hates Christmas slips on ice out front of the in-laws' house, bangs the back of his head, and all of a sudden, you know, he's full of Christmas goodness. And,
that's right.
You know, the fiance wants to take him to the neurologist, but you know what? At the same time, she doesn't want him to snap back to his normal Scrooge self. So she's just sort of enjoying the amnesia that occurred after head trauma.
Or there's always the hard-working New York businesswoman that goes back to small town Oklahoma.
That's right, yeah.
And falls back. She doesn't care about Christmas. She's on her phone, and her dad's like, just come in here and make cider with me. Next thing you know, she falls back in love with Christmas and sees her old boyfriend who's a,
she's an attorney in New York.
Right, exactly.
But she's forced back home over the holidays to settle her affairs for her dead father.
Ding, ding,
meanwhile,
ding.
She meets a high school friend turned love interest.
This is why we do sports, because it's so much better than having to watch Hallmark movies. It's just crazy. All right, so I have not hit any tweets tonight. In all of my excitement, we got a handful of good ones here. My man Lou Riley writes, and this is the only NBA talk we're allowing. Lou writes, the Lakers and the horrid Kings, who just fired Bill Walton, are now going into a third overtime after L.A. led by 13 in the fourth quarter. It's the first time the Lakers' big three is playing an entire game. If they lose, Vogel Bay may be toast.
Okay. I think this is a facetious tweet. I hope it's a facetious tweet. Because, I mean, Frank Vogel may not even be in L.A. tonight. He may be home for the holiday. I mean, a 500 record at this point in the season is about as much as you could ask a team of veterans who should, at this point in their career, and I'm talking about A.D. Westbrook and LeBron, know how to turn it on when they're going to be playing significant basketball that matters. So anybody who's getting wrapped up into any storyline like, oh, the Lakers are really struggling and LeBron's coming on unhinged. He's throwing fans out of arenas and he's grabbing his crotch in celebration after draining deep threes. Relax. You know, like you said, and I believe in this, man, basketball in the NBA, it's almost unwatchable until you hit Christmas, because you could be a below 500 team, get healthy or get right in the latter half of the season, and win a championship. It just doesn't matter until you're after the holiday season.
At some point, Rich, I hope we get a chance. I hope it's not another 3 years before we get to work together, because I would love to sit and try to figure out, and maybe it's easy and maybe it's something where we have to invite some of the haters, why there is such this disdain for LeBron James.
Mm.
There are certain guys that I can see why fans don't like them, right? I get it. I'm like, oh, but LeBron, I mean, he's great. He's fun to watch. Does he flop around a little bit? Yeah, but what NBA player doesn't? He's LeBron James. So Lakers struggling tonight with the Sacramento Kings. We'll keep you up to date. Here's a couple of good ones here. I like this from Nature Boy, who's been on fire tonight. Just a very simple one. Good old-fashioned sports radio question. Nature Boy writes, who are you guys picking in the Rams-Packers game on Sunday?
I'm picking the Rams because it's a spot they need more than the Packers right now. And Aaron Rodgers is playing with a fractured toe. They're coming off that loss. I don't think he was all the way right. He actually expressed as much post-game. And like I said, I think the Rams coming off the bye week, Sean McVay, I think they're going to get this run game right. And that would be great timing for them. So I'm taking the Rams. I'm taking the Rams to win.
I am too. I think it's going to be a fun one to watch as well. All right. And two more quick ones. Roberta, to the conversation about the TV ratings. She writes, well, of course the TV numbers were higher. Everyone was celebrating Thanksgiving with friends and family, so naturally football was the additional guest at the table.
Yeah, Thanksgiving Day is, I mean, it's a holiday now that's become synonymous with the NFL. I shouldn't say now. This is a baked-in American tradition.
Like, sure.
Super Bowl Sunday has become basically a national holiday. Thanksgiving belongs to the NFL. I mean, and more of the sports calendar is being blanketed by NFL news. I mean, the draft has become a seminal event. So, yeah. I mean, she's right. Roberta's got a point.
And then one more. I like this from Dupe. RJ Dupree at 405 Dupe writes, it seems as though with the Cowboys, they are leading the way in the NFL fad of getting behind, freaking out, and abandoning the run and eventually taking an L. The officiating stinking isn't a good excuse, even though it's true. I do like that. You do see teams abandon the run pretty quickly in both the NFL and in college football.
I agree with that. I think offensive coordinators, they start to get worried when they're down two scores. They just think like, whoa, if this margin gets any wider, we need a quick score. We got to take some shots. But I think the issues with Dallas's run game run deeper than that. If you just look at early downs in games, first quarter, first down and second down runs, they're just not producing. And we were talking about this earlier in the show, Chris. This sets you up to be behind the schedule, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And it sets you up for more third and eights and third and nines as opposed to those easier convertible third and fours and third and threes, which a good run game will get you on those early downs. So that's a problem Dallas needs to fix, and they need to get Zeke healthy. They need to get Tony Pollard rolling like he was earlier this season.
We haven't talked a lot about the Bills, the Bears, talked a lot about the Raiders and the Cowboys game, but just to get a quick note at least in, do we credit the Bears for battling through adversity, even though the Lions are 0-9-1 and now 0-10-1? They might go down as one of the greatest winless teams ever. But we credit the Bears a bit, right, Rich?
Yeah.
Because of how they overcame the adversity of the week.
And I'll say this about the Detroit Lions on the other side of that ledger. That is the toughest winless team I think I've ever seen. I mean, Dan Campbell, for a team that has zero wins and not much to play for at this point in the season, for them to play with the ferocity that they're playing with is impressive. He's a head coach who cares. His players care. And we'll see if that lasts through the season. We'll see if he lasts. But he's on a six-year contract. So I think he's at least going to get a second year regardless of the outcome of this season.
I agree. And then the late-night game last night, I mean, it kind of makes you respect Drew Brees a little bit more, seeing how much he was crushed last year whenever things were going okay for the Saints offensively. But now that you've seen him go through a couple different quarterbacks this year, not being able to use Taysom Hill, and even with the Bills not necessarily playing well early on, Buffalo wins 31-6 over New Orleans, and I don't know. Are we saying the Bills got their mojo back, or are we going to ride a roller coaster with them the rest of the way?
Josh Allen looked good.
Looked good.
A four-touchdown game, but two interceptions. Needs to clean that up. But it was a pounding. They held the Saints to 44 yards on the ground, which is exceptional, especially if they're going to – well, I should say exceptional if Alvin Kamara was healthy. You knew this game was going to be a Bills victory because Kamara's out and Trevor Siemian's the starting quarterback. But the Bills got right, and they performed well against a good defense, a very solid defense from the Saints. But there just wasn't enough horses offensively for New Orleans to keep up with the Bills' firepower. And so, you know, Diggs and Josh Allen connected, and they got the job done on the road, which they absolutely needed to do.
Every road team won. In fact, I saw that incredible stat on ESPN Stats and Info that on Thanksgiving Day games, the home teams have won the last eight games, which makes absolutely zero sense. But there is one note that caught my eye from yesterday that I think is just awesome, and it speaks to how fun this season has been in the National Football League. But we've had now with the Raiders walk-off field goal and the Bears walk-off field goal. Through 25 games there have been 25 games decided on the final play this season. It's already the most through week 12 since the merger.
Mm.
That's awesome, right? Mm-hmm. That we've had that many good games. Well, many good finishes. I don't want to say that all these walk-offs were necessarily great games, but you've had some pretty damn good games in the midst of a lot of really fun finishes.
Well, and a lot of great primetime games, and that's important for the NFL's popularity, and this season has delivered time and time and time again on primetime. So it's a buoy to the conversation we're having about the ratings on Thanksgiving for Dallas taking on Las Vegas, but just in general for the NFL, they have a great product. And then when everything clicks in, where you're getting the largest viewing audience watching the best possible games like it's happened this season on many occasions, even if the matchups kind of, you know, less than desirable, the games have been interesting. So, yeah, it's been a good season for the NFL. The rich get richer.
Yeah, and it's funny you bring that up because a lot of times on Sunday night with Arnie and I, whenever we get in, the Sunday night game would be, Sunday night's going on. Let's recap. Wow, can you believe that game during the day? Anymore, Rich, I mean, outside of what, maybe the Raiders-Chiefs game a couple weeks ago, anymore, whenever we hit the air here on Fox Sports Radio on Sunday nights, we got to pay attention to what's going on in Sunday night football because it's demanded it. You know, Monday night football's had a couple of stinkers, but even with the Manning cast, if it's a bad game, it's demanded your attention. Thursday night games have been really good. So that's a great point I hadn't even thought of. And before we grab our final break, two college football notes. Breece Hall, the 24th consecutive game with a rushing touchdown. It's the longest streak in FBS history. He broke a tie with Arkansas's Bill Burnett,
wow,
who scored in 23 straight games from 1968 to 1970. He also tied his own school record with 23 touchdowns in a season. And yes, it was fun at the start of the show to watch the wild finish between North Carolina State and North Carolina. Here was the call of the go-ahead touchdown reception on the North Carolina State Radio Network, which, again, keep in mind, this was a team that was down big late in this game. Actually, here was the final call, pardon me.
5 seconds to go, back to his 40 to throw. Cox the arm, fires, left corner end zone. It's up for grabs. It is intercepted by State. Intercepted by Pitts after a deflection, and that's the ball game.
So get this note. North Carolina State played by 9 with 2 minutes to go in the game, 2:12 to be exact. They are the first team to win a game this season when trailing by 9 points with less than 2:30 to play.
Wow.
Teams had been 0-451 in that scenario this season prior to their win. Now, again, like you said, you don't tap out when you're a good team. You know, you always feel like you got a chance. But, wow, from watching that game with the way that North Carolina thought they had it won after that 51-yard field goal that pushed it to 9, crazy comeback. And, oh, by the way, the ramifications of this, no Clemson in the ACC championship game. If Boston College beats Wake Forest tomorrow, then it's North Carolina State that moves on to the ACC title game. All right, when we come back, some final thoughts on the day in the NFL coming up on Sunday next with Rich Orenberger. I'm Chris Plankin for Jason and Mike on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Gotta hustle. Not a lot of time. But I will say, Nick, at Merck with one arm on Twitter, where you can find him, are there any final thoughts or any parting words you want to say as you wrap up your last segment here on Fox Sports Radio?
I just want to say, first off and foremost, so I was telling Rich this during a break. So there was a time in my life here, actually, when I first came to California, where I was kind of between jobs, working as an assistant for a couple of people, lost a job, and I literally was, at a time, had 17 cents in my bank account and was looking at having to move back home to Syracuse because I couldn't land anything. So I just want to say to Mike Lingard, to Scott Shapiro, thank you for hiring me and literally saving me from having to go back home and for giving me a shot as someone who was also a former intern back in 2011. So I do want to thank those guys for taking a chance on me and giving me the opportunity to work in this industry. I also want to thank everybody here, Iowa Sam. I want to thank you. I want to thank Rich, everybody, all the update anchors, everybody who made coming to work here, fun and just, really talking to you guys during the break, just having fun, having a laugh, telling jokes, and, really, it meant a lot, and I'm looking forward to this new opportunity. And so,
awesome.
From the bottom of my heart, you guys, I love you guys, and I'm just, excited for the next opportunity.
Well, we dig you, man. Merck with one arm on Twitter.
Well-timed. Iowa Sam plays the plays the music to have you get off the stage. Your thank yous are over.
Nick, time to go. We got 2 minutes left in the show.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, you're going long on the thank yous, so we're going to go ahead and play a little.
He's every single Whitney. Radio guy, which, by the way, Nick, you shouldn't feel bad. I remember driving to a remote and scrounging for change in my car to make sure I could put gas in my car to get to the remote. So best of luck with everything, man. Every time we've got a chance to work together, I've had a blast.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me give you a Bedlam nugget for tomorrow since it's kind of my beat. Third down conversions. The Oklahoma Sooners have been disastrous on third downs the last few weeks. As a matter of fact, I was trying to pull up my notes here on the number. Oklahoma in the last 2 weeks is 3 of 19 on third downs. 3 of 19, which would be good for DFL. That's dead bleeping last in the country. Oklahoma State is the best third down defense in the country. So as one smart coach always told me, you know what the best third down offense is? Don't get in third down. So we'll see how that plays out tomorrow night between Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. And in the last minute, just an Ohio State-Michigan note, we'll see if Michigan can get the run going, right? Maybe try to control some clock against Ohio State tomorrow.
Yeah, that's their best opportunity for a win is if they can just play keep away. You know, you play good enough defense, you play offense and sustain drives with the run game, and potentially that team up north can win the first one in a while. We'll see.
Well, we're going to be talking about it all night. Brian Noe is in, and he's coming up next. And we'll have complete coverage all day tomorrow. Iowa Sam, congrats to your Hawkeyes. Have a great, stressless Saturday without your team playing.
Thank you.
Nick, you're the man. We always appreciate working with you. Rich, it's a blast. Hope we get to do it again soon. For Rich Ornberger, I'm Chris Plank. This is Fox Sports Radio. Brian Noe is next.